Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. I'm hosting a show today because Dr. Youngblood is taking care of some family issues right now. As you know, if you've been listening over the past couple of weeks, that Dr. Youngblood's son was in the hospital battling with COVID, and we have been asking for your prayers daily for his son and for Dr. Youngblood's family. I'm sorry to inform you that Dr. Youngblood's son passed away yesterday, and he is now with the Lord. So we do want to thank you for your prayers. Would ask that you continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family as they go through these difficult times right now with their son. Joining me today in hosting the show is Chris Hughes. Chris has been on the show with me previously, and he joins me again today. Chris is a global communicator. He's an author and a Christian political advocate. Chris is a recipient of the Wall Street Journal Award for Political Science Excellence and is also the recipient of the Victor Martinelli Award as the Outstanding County Treasurer of the United States of America. Chris lives his life to the fullest as a father, a husband, a culture warrior, a public speaker, a celebrity chef, and author. When the family is not changing the world on the road, they make their home in Boone, North Carolina. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Mike, it's such an honor to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Chris, as you know, Dr. Youngblood's son did pass away yesterday, and we're saddened by that. At the same time, we can rejoice because we know that because of Jesus, and Dr. Youngblood Jr., his son, Gene, because of his acceptance as Jesus, as his Lord and Savior, we know that he is in heaven with him right now.
Yeah, Mike, you know, it's sad for us here on earth when we lose loved ones, and I can't imagine the pain that Dr. Youngblood and his family are having, and we've certainly been praying for them. But, you know, the good news for us is that there's a celebration in heaven when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, like you said, and we know his son's in heaven today, and I know that Jesus just welcomed him with open arms, and he's not suffering anymore. But we do want to keep the family in our prayers because it is a difficult time for them.
Absolutely. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach them online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Chris, we have a number of issues that we want to discuss today. The issues that we'll be covering, if we have time, It's going to be this infrastructure bill, this massive bill that Congress is going to be looking at voting on sometime this week. After we discuss that, then we're going to switch a little bit about the vaccine and how it is affecting our military, who will accept the vaccine, who will apply for it, and how fear is being used as social control here in America right now. So let's start with voting no, how we need to encourage Congress to vote no on this massive infrastructure bill. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to join the conversation, you may call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Let's start with this article. It's out of the Washington Times. It was written by their editorial board, and it starts off as this. As the House Republicans consider their next step concerning the infrastructure legislation on which they may be voting this week, depending on how Nancy Pelosi feels about it, they need to keep a few things in mind. First of all, there are plenty of reasons not to like the non-infrastructure legislation. The primary reason is that it is not about infrastructure. Less than 10% of its spending is dedicated to roads and bridges. That may seem crazy in a world when everything is infrastructure, but it's true. Only 10% of the spending is dedicated to roads and bridges of this massive spending bill, which, Chris, as you know, is in the trillions of dollars. What do you think about that, that only 10% of it is being spent on roads and bridges, even though they're calling it an infrastructure bill?
Mike, this infrastructure bill is really a disguised tax and spend ploy by the Democrats. As you said, very little of it's going to go to infrastructure, and it's being presented by an administration that doesn't even really support the cars that we drive today. So a lot of it is being used. They're using this to, you know, because President Trump said he wanted an infrastructure bill too. We have across the country, I know you travel a lot like I do, our infrastructure does have a lot of needs. But when we think of, at least when I think of infrastructure, you know, I think of roads and bridges and ways to get around, maybe train, improving train travel or whatever. But that's really not what this bill is presenting. It's just a big boondoggle of hiding turkeys for the liberal Democrats across the nation.
That's right. And there are some parts in it that are really egregious, Chris. There are some parts which you wouldn't suspect to be in there, but as this article points out, this legislation creates a foundation for a tax on miles driven. Get that. On the miles that you drive, they will tax you. Such a tax eventually may be enforced by onboard computers automatically reporting to the government how many miles you've driven and probably where you've gone. It's possible that at some point the government may simply be able to shut down your car for whatever reason. Now, Chris, I'm in the insurance business, and a number of insurance companies right now, including my own, will offer you a discount if through the use of your smartphone and a beacon that is placed in your car, they can see how you drive, whether you speed, what time you drive, even where you drive. And if you accept that, they give you a discount on your auto insurance. Now, the reason why the insurance industry is doing that is so that they can better pinpoint what the premium should be for each individual. And if someone is driving very erratically or they speed frequently, then their premiums are going to be higher than someone who does not. So that is their reasoning for it. But the reasoning for our government doing it can be a lot more sinister, Chris. It could be that they just want to know where you are and track you and control you.
Mike, that's a scary thing that's going on right now. And it really, it happens somewhat with with our cell phones right now, as you know, social media, particularly Facebook and Twitter and others, track just about everything you do. You know, you and I just talked about on the radio insurance, and probably within an hour on our social media feeds will be advertising to try to sell us insurance because we talked about it. But it's scary when it comes to our government tracking us. And, you know, I know the vaccine is another area where people are worried about being tracked, but it's the reality of our day is the government's trying to track every facet of our lives. And if they can do away with gasoline vehicles, which is something that they really want to do, is go all electric and then computerize these cars, you're right. They'll be able to trace everywhere we go and everything that we do. And as a Christian, you know, that just we've seen that was going to happen when you read the Bible and the Bible talks about the end times. You know, really, Mike, really, until about 20 years ago, some of the things predicted in the Bible, we didn't think could ever happen because the technology was not here. And we wondered, well, how would they be able to stop you from doing this or that if you had the mark of the beast? And again, I'm not saying the transportation plan or any of that is the mark of the beast. So don't twist what I'm saying. I'm just saying the technology has changed such now that they can track every single thing that you do. There's a near field technology, Mike, and I know this is off the transportation bill a little bit, but it plays into it. Where right now, when you go in the grocery store, in some of the larger cities, they can track your signal because of your purchasing power that is done mostly online now. And if they know that you like, you know, Cheerios, when you walk on aisle three, if it's near the cereal, then they're going to start sending you coupons to buy Cheerios. And so the same thing is going to happen on this infrastructure bill, which is just a crazy, crazy bill. Less than 5% of this bill is going to infrastructure, but it's just a greater way for them to control our lives.
That's right, Chris. You know, it seems like that they are taking their cues from communist China that we know right now in large part controls many facets of their population. I don't mind private businesses trying to send me information about their products for us to purchase. It's completely different when it comes to the government wanting information and wanting your location so that they can control your behavior. Now, the article goes on to point out, this is from the Washington Post, their editorial board, it goes on to point out something else that is in this so-called infrastructure bill. There is the legislation would mandate ignition interlocks, that is breathalyzers, in new cars. You will need to prove you are sober before being allowed to drive your vehicle. It is a short distance from there to authorizing other reasons not to allow you to drive, such as unpaid bills or taxes or simply antisocial behavior. I don't think that's a reach. Environmentalists, the article says, want to get people out of their cars in large measure because vehicles provide access to both prosperity and freedom. This legislation helps the environmentalists achieve their goals. And it goes on to say this, in the category of not infrastructure, the legislation also establishes a protected class of one's real or perceived gender identity. Ladies and gentlemen, that is just insane. This is supposed to be a bill about infrastructure, about roads, bridges, airports, our ports, and so forth. That's what this bill is supposed to be about. But they have in there on page 2149, that's right, page 2149, and it's even larger than that, which I guarantee you no one in Congress is reading all of this bill. They don't care to read all of it. They're told how to vote by leadership, both on the Republican side and on the Democrat side. They're told how to vote for this bill. But on page 2149, the legislation reads like this. No individual in the United States may, on a basis of actual or perceived race, color, Chris, what do you mean what your perceived race is? Or your color. You either are or you aren't. You don't perceive and make up what you want to be, including your gender.
But Mike, in today's society, you know, that's how the government has decided if Facebook allows over 150 choices of what you're, I mean, I don't understand how you can have a choice of gender. You're born, you're either male or female, your skin color is whatever you want. But even in our school systems, the federal government is allowing people, if you want to claim you're an animal or whatever, but what has that got to do with infrastructure? There's a bigger agenda going on, Mike. As you know, this is a takeover of the federal government. One of the scary things about this program, you know, you were a legislator in Florida. You had control of what was going on in your state. And on a local level, you know, we pay local taxes, sometimes special designated sales taxes, to improve a road or a bridge or whatever. But what the federal government is doing here is they're taking the power of this out of the hands of local government, out of the hands of the people, and creating a national agenda. And unfortunately, with the administration that we have right now, they don't care what gender you can be, anything you want, because what they're really doing, Mike, is they're trying to destroy the traditional family as modeled in God's word, where God said that he created them male and female, and he created us in the image of God. And currently the liberals running the United States of America don't want us to have anything to do with any semblance of what God created. So they're putting this gender selection and ethnic choice in everything that they do, and it has nothing to do with an infrastructure plan.
That's right, Chris. You're absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood, and Chris Hughes, a good friend of mine, pastor, author, and one who speaks frequently in different areas throughout the U.S. concerning our Christian values and our culture. If you would like to join the conversation, you may call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. So finally, we'll finish with this, Chris, about this infrastructure bill. In this article written by the Washington Post, it says no individual, this is in the bill itself, this is actual wording in this bill, this so-called infrastructure bill. So on page 2149, it says no individual in the United States may, on a basis of actual or perceived race, color, religion, national origin, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, or disability, may be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subject to discrimination under any program or activity that is funded in whole or in part with funds made available to carry out this title. This is the first time that gender identity has gained protected status in federal law and is buried in an infrastructure bill. So what that is saying is that if you receive any money from this bill, whether you're a government agency or a private business, then you are prohibited from discriminating against someone who is suffering from gender dysphoria, someone who needs counseling and needs help, a man who thinks he's a woman or a woman who thinks she's a man, that you were not able to tell them that they cannot work at your place of business, your own privately owned place of business, because of their gender dysphoria, which is another reason why, Chris, it's most important that as much as possible, as much as you are able to, do not accept money from this bill or the federal government, because as soon as you do, they can control you. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's exactly how they control, Mike. And the deception here is recently a bill passed the House of Representatives called the Equality Act. And the Equality Act was aimed at doing what you just said right there, Mike, is they're trying to basically make gender selection the same as race. And that is not the same. And it's really a slap in the face to all the people that fought for civil rights in the 1960s. So the bill passed the House, but it doesn't have any traction in the Senate. So this is another way of them to sneak their agenda in, to give the same status basically as ethnicity to gender. And you're right. It's going to shut businesses down. And any business that takes money from the federal government, any school, college, or university, if they don't step in line with this gender identity and kind of a neutrality of what a sex really is between men and women, then they're going to shut down the federal funds, and it's going to hurt and kill a lot of businesses. So you're giving our listeners great advice. You need to avoid doing business with the federal government and not accept funds from them if at all possible.
Absolutely, Chris. Once you do, you are beholden to them. Okay, let's switch gears just a little bit. Let's start talking about the Biden administration, the Biden regime, of how they are forcing members of the military to take this experimental vaccine. It's utterly outrageous. I have an article here from the Family Research Council, a very excellent organization out of Washington, D.C., that stands up for our Constitution and for our Christian religion and culture. It's an article that was written by Tony Perkins. I actually spent some time with Tony Perkins, Chris, this past weekend in Colorado Springs with the Council for National Policy meeting. He and I spent probably about 5-10 minutes just kind of catching up. But Tony Perkins wrote this article, and I'm reading from it now. It starts off with, "Woke, broke, or both? It's a question the U.S. military can't avoid these days. Trapped in a sinkhole of left-wing radicalism, our troops are so busy fighting climate change, white supremacy, conservative extremism, and COVID to deal with America's real enemies. Now, as if the embarrassment of Afghanistan, a feeble commander-in-chief," referring to Joe Biden, "and their top brass's betrayals weren't enough, the president says he's ready to fire anyone who won't get the vaccine." The article goes on to say, "It doesn't matter whether they have natural immunity or not, or whether they have deeply held moral or religious objections. This is about power. The point was to bow before his authority and the authority of the Democrat Party," meaning his authority, meaning Joe Biden. "No excuses or exceptions. What's the scientific justification, you might ask? Well, of course, there isn't any. The fighting strength of the military is young, healthy people, virtually all of them at extremely low risk of dying from COVID. Believe it or not, Biden argues, 3 times as many troops have died of suicide over the last year and a half than the virus. So is this really about public health or a more sinister agenda? Can America really afford to lose hundreds, if not thousands, of dedicated, experienced service members in a dangerous global climate like this one? And over a mandate that is almost certainly to be found unconstitutional at the highest courts? The simple answer is no. But here's the thing, Chris. If the motivation is to cleanse the military of conservative men and women of faith, then it all makes sense. The point of mandatory vaccination is to identify the sincere Christians in the ranks, the free thinkers, the men with high testosterone levels, and anyone else who doesn't love Joe Biden, and make them leave immediately." Those are Tucker Carlson's words that are quoted in this article. And he goes on to say, "Frankly, it's a takeover of the U.S. military." What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, Mike, you know, you and I both served in the military, and we have a love for our nation. We love the men and women that serve. And Mike, you probably remember these days too. I mean, we're showing our age. Back when we were in, they would line you up and had like a gun, and they would just shoot you in the arm, and we never knew what they were sticking in us or anything. But the difference is, people say, well, you know, well, vaccines have been required for children. They've been required for the military for years. That's the truth. But there is a difference between those vaccines and this vaccine today. One, this is a very hot political issue, and the president is the one who has really weaponized it as a political issue. But the vaccine that is being given today is untested and unproven technology, Mike. And in 2016, there were a tremendous number of reports and medical studies that were put out that are kind of being hid by social media today, that reveal that the drugs, the type of drugs that are being used in this vaccine, are very experimental. So this is the first time really in history that military men and women and others have been required to take a vaccine that was not proven and not been tested for 20 or more years. This is a new vaccine. The technology is new, and we don't really know, you know, what's going on with it. So you have women in the military who might want to have children at some point or could be pregnant now. And, you know, it's not known for sure if this is safe for pregnant women or people that want to get pregnant. You have others who want to take military exemptions. But I think what Tucker Carlson said, Mike, really gets to the truth of what's going on here. Our military, you know, has traditionally been conservative people, people who had strong moral values, and has been really heavily represented by members of the Christian faith who love their God and love their country. And President Biden and his administration, or whoever's really calling the shots there, I don't think it's President Biden, knows that this is an important issue to Christians, that many Christians don't think that this vaccine is safe, and for various reasons don't want to take it. So when he mandated on all federal employees, not just the military, but this was a way within the military, I think, to weed out Christians. How do we find out who they are? How do we get them out of our ranks? I know years ago people used to talk about, well, if there was, you know, some kind of takeover by a criminal element in the government or by liberals in our nation, that they would never be able to get the military to go along with it because there were so many Christians in the military. But Mike, if they can weed out the military, if they can get the Christians and conservatives and people who love our Constitution and love our Lord to get out of the military, it's going to be much easier for a federal government to enforce ridiculous federal laws along the people of this nation.
That's right, Chris. You know, as you say, when we were in the military, they would give you shots, but those shots have been tested and had been vetted for years before they were given to us. As you said, this vaccine that they've developed did not go through that same rigor of those shots that we were given. I was forced, because you were ordered, to take the flu shot annually. Every fall, we were forced to take the flu shot. Well, once I left the military in 1990, I have not had a shot since. And I refuse to take this experimental vaccine because we know, Chris, that there have been serious side effects and even deaths that have happened because of this experimental vaccine. I read something just last night. I don't know the veracity of it, but I read something last night that said there are now 48,000 people who have died from taking that vaccine. And it's up into the hundreds of thousands of those who have adverse reactions.
And the government's hiding that information from us.
That's right. They are, but it is actually occurring right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood. We're going to take a break here shortly, but we're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the hour after the break. We're going to continue this discussion about the military and the vaccine. And we talked about outside the military, who is going to comply in the civilian population? Who will comply with this vaccine mandate and why? And then we're going to talk also about fear and social control. Chris, just before we break, I want to mention this, that there has been a military flight surgeon who has written a letter to the Secretary of Defense, Les Austin, saying that any pilots who have taken the vaccine should be grounded. That's right, they should be grounded because of the adverse reaction she has been seeing. Ladies and gentlemen, don't change your dial. Join us again right after the break. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.